This week on Out There, my guest is Ron. He's a good friend of mine. You might have listened to him earlier. He was talking about UFOs, firsthand witness. You know, and everybody's had many things. Just because he's a witness of UFOs doesn't mean he has other things in his life that haven't happened to him. Well, actually, his brother had a very interesting near-death experience. You know, some people will have these things and they seem like a dream and you really don't know. And then some have so much more substance. And, you know, Ron is a Christian and I respect his belief and his faith, but I'm not that. I'm none of the above, really. And he respects me because I think we both have an understanding of love. And that, to us, I think is what connects, that there's a greater love in the universe. And so we both can see that, even though, you know, philosophically, a little bit of difference. Now, we talk about that experience, and to me, it's a pretty vivid one, a real vivid one. So I ask him a few questions about that. And then also, we discuss something very personal, which I really have to thank Ron for opening up. He talks about being an alcoholic. And if I'm sure most every family, my father probably could have been classified as that. Just about every night he came home and he drank. And usually when he got drunk, he wasn't any fun to be around. He never hurt us physically, but mentally it was not a picnic. But I love my father dearly, dearly. And since then, he's come to me from the other side. I mean, that's another story altogether. But Ron shares with you what's truly amazing, and I think it's so true, and again, my opinion, my experiences, but when you just change your thoughts and your feelings about things, the world changes, and Ron is a good example of that. From years and years and years, I knew him, always has been a good friend of mine from day one, but his life was not going in a good direction. He had so much hatred and negativity for so many people. And when he finally got rid of the bottle and finally let go of the hatred, all of a sudden, in the last 6 months to a year, his life has just started to blossom. Everything's falling into his lap. How does that happen? Is that coincidence? I don't think so. So he changed his thoughts and his feelings about things, and the universe played along accordingly, the way I see it. And then also we're going to talk about vision problems that Ron has, something that other people maybe, or they know someone, macular degeneration. And there's a natural product which he has been taking, which to me is pretty amazing. I'm always looking for natural cures, and there's so many out there, and there's so many that maybe aren't, you know, as good as others. And so when I hear about something, I like to pass it along. So I hope you enjoy my interview this week with a good friend of mine.
Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Well, back as a guest this week is a fellow who was on earlier at one point. We talked about UFOs. My buddy Ron, who, as you may or may not recall, we've worked together through the same company. And he's also, well, he's just become a friend over the years. How are you doing, Ron?
Well, I'm doing well, TJ, and thank you for having me on your program today.
Now, if you can tell by his voice, he's been in broadcasting. He's also does, you still do some voice work type stuff as well?
Yes, I do. I have my own in-home production studio. It's complete, and I do voice work on the internet, international English speaking, producing commercials, liners, that sort of thing.
So if you're listening right now and you're looking for somebody...
Yeah, if you need a voice talent...
Contact Out There, and we will get you in touch with Ron. Now, yeah. There was a couple of things we wanted to talk about. You and I have just kind of talked from time to time, and one of them... And I always find this stuff interesting and fascinating. Your brother, you were talking about him, and we were even thinking maybe of having him, you know, tell the story, but apparently they wanted to remain private on that, and I totally, totally respect that. But your brother had what we would call a near-death experience.
Yeah, near-death to actual death, actually, and he was revived.
How long ago did this happen?
About 3.5 years ago.
How old is your brother at the time?
Let's see, he is... 6 years younger than I, so he would be, 54 now, so I would say he was around 50.
So around 50 years old, when what happened to him?
Well, Well, he was having health problems, and the list is long, and we would be on the on the list for quite a time. But whatever his, it just came up on him, and he started feeling like he had the flu. And he went to the doctor and was immediately put into the ER. Come to find out, he had some maladies that were, well, heart-related, and some other issues were going on. And in the process of getting ready to take a look and that sort of thing, he passed out. And they rushed him right into the ER or whatever, and started to go to work on him, and he passed away. He died on the table. And he said that he saw this a light in the distance, and it was very bright, and it came toward him and drew him, and he felt himself exit the room. And he actually saw, you know, things around the room.
He was able to see the doctors and himself?
Oh, yes. And then he proceeded to follow the light. And as he followed that light, he came upon a what looks like a huge rectangular box, if you will, but it was in just glowing like gold. And the closer he got to it, he saw what is described in the Bible as heaven. And he was just amazed, and he took a look, and he met with, he didn't see anyone, but a voice told him, "It is not your time. You must return for now." And that was the last he heard of it. He had a moment to see the beauty of the surroundings. It is just beyond.
And this beauty, how would you describe it? Countryside, buildings, what would you say that is?
Well, in our 3D world that we live in, it's awfully hard to describe a spiritual setting.
Okay.
Yeah, a setting of energy.
Clouds.
And you have what the proverbial old saying from Norman Vincent Peale, you are what you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's very true, and I believe that firmly. And anyways, he was telling me that he looked around, and it was just opulence and the layout, the streets of gold. Yes, they're there.
So there were streets, actual streets.
Yeah, it appeared this way. And like streets of gold, and the gates were huge jewels, and just gorgeous. I mean, as in looking out over a prairie with a lot of wildflowers and mountains in the background.
It's a lot of natural beauty, too.
And natural beauty to go with, yes.
Okay.
But the splendor of the city, if you will, for lack of better terms, was just a splendor that is beyond your wildest imaginings.
Now, and you know, so many people have different things. They view different things when they go, and I'm guessing that's what you were talking about when you made the comments about Norman Vincent Peale.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what I'm asking you is that, do you believe we see what we believe? Or is it, because it's different for everybody, it seems like.
Yes, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, so to speak, in that the way you think about yourself and people around you and the world around you and that sort of thing, your attitude is going to reflect your thinking about yourself and so on. And that you will display that in your behavior, in your speech, your interaction with other people.
Now, some
if it's negative, of course, you have the sourpuss.
Right, but I'm saying what you experience when you have this near death, if you want to call it that, the NDE, will you experience what you believe? Now, if you believe in a certain faith as opposed to a different faith, would you maybe experience that?
I believe that you would, personally. I am a Christian, and generic, if you will. I won't say fundamentalist or any particular brand name. I just go on the book itself. And from what I have read over the years and studied of late, and also I've studied Eastern religions and Native American practices and
do you find any truth in any of those as well?
I find that they have a common theme, that it's like a golden thread that runs through all of these philosophies, all of these religions, be they Eastern or Western or whatever, and that is that A, we should be kind to each other, love each other, respect our bodies, people around us, the earth that we live on, the places we live in, and be a kind and considerate individual and a productive individual.
And those are things I can agree with as well. Yes. Now, do you feel, some people will say that there's a scientific explanation for the near-death experience and it's not really what we claim it is. Do you feel that in any way, or do you feel that your brother had a genuine experience?
Oh, I believe this was a genuine experience. My younger brother is rather stoic and is very, very, shall we say, grounded in the Word, as some Christians will say. And his belief is that God does exist, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that what is written in the good book speaks for itself. It's so simple a child can understand it. It's just a matter of getting past the King James Version, the Old English version of 500, language of 500 years ago, versus the NIV version today, which is much more helpful in that you're not using or attempting to understand the slang of 500 years ago.
Okay, but I want to get back to your brother's experience where he came back. When did he come back, and how did he know, and how long was he gone?
Well, he wasn't keeping track of time. Time was actually irrelevant to him at the time. He was just, you know, in awe, standing there looking at this overwhelming beauty and comfort. There was such a sense of joy and love that it was, again, words cannot describe. It was, he didn't want to come back. And in his thought process or whatever communication was going on, he voiced that, I don't want to leave. And the response was, no, it's not your time. Mm. You have more to do.
And so does he have any memory of getting back into his body?
Yes. As he descended, if you will, for lack of better terms, from where he was back into his body, he observed the room around him, the nurses and the doctors and the whole setting, and then he felt the pain.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that before.
Yeah, and that was when it, he awoke, and they were working on him, and he had stabilized, and then they put him into ICU for observation. And my mother, of course, he's taken care of her all these many years, and she was there. She's also of the same fundamental Christian belief that he is, and went into the room with him, and she said it was surprising because he was just glowing.
Really?
Literally. There was a kind of a glow about him.
Interesting.
And the aura around him, if you will. And he was just full of smiling. This is not my usual brother, Ralph. Ralph is, as I said, the eccentric kind of stoic to himself person, and he does not, he's not very outgoing. But my mom walked in the room, and he just lit up, and she said it was like a whole new person.
Well, we got to take a break. We're talking to my buddy Ron, talking about his brother's near-death experience, and we'll talk a little more about that, and also his own individual health problems, and share maybe something that can help others. So we'll do that more in just a moment on Out There.
Out There. Out There. Out There. Out
There. Coming up later in this interview, I'm going to ask Ron about his problems with his vision, and he's given me a couple of websites, so I want to give those to you right now. You can go to find out anything you want about vision problems, whether it's macular degeneration or whatever the case, www.allaboutvision.com/conditions/amd.htm. I haven't checked out the site, but I'll take Ron's word on it. Also, this amazing product, this natural product that he's been taking, which he claims has made a huge difference in his life, not just his vision, but also feeling a lot better. You can check that out at visionnutrition.com. They probably have several products. And good luck. If it works for you and you try it, let me know. Please.
It's out there, out there, out there, out there.
My guest is Ron. He's a good friend of mine. We're just going to leave it at Ron. I've known him for quite a number of years now. And he was talking about his brother's... What's your brother's first name?
Ralph.
Ralph's near-death experience. And now you said when Mom went in the room, she could see... And you know what? And I'm not of any belief, I don't call myself classified, but you and I connect, don't we?
Yes.
Even though I'm not a Christian, I'm none of anything, really. I'm open to a lot of different things, but... I know exactly what you're talking about. When you get filled with that joy, whatever it is,
Wherever
it comes from, well, we know where it comes from, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you can see it in others. And your brother had that, and he normally doesn't. Now, does he still carry some of that?
Oh, he is definitely a changed man, because since that incident, the stress levels in his life that brought him and contributed to his health issues... went away, and he was able to sleep at night. He says, Ron, I go to bed at night, and I go to sleep, and I just don't worry about a thing, because I know what is waiting for my real person.
Let me ask you this one, because I've had people tell me this, and I'm not sure exactly. Some people believe that your illnesses are brought on by your own beliefs and your own stresses. And other people will say, no, it's the environment or a combination. And I think, in my own personal belief, the majority of it is brought on by how you feel about things. Would you say that this is not evidence? Your brother totally changing after having that experience and his health changed.
Yeah.
Is that not evidence perhaps to show that, boy, if you just find that joy?
Yeah. Yes, do not let anyone steal your joy. So Christ relayed on the Sermon on the Mount and others in the New Testament and in the Old. And that is when you allow circumstances to bring you down and you surrender to them and you bury your head into your hands and you start, oh, woe is me, and the pity party begins. And, of course, that can lead to alcoholism, drugs, other pursuits that are not healthy. And just the fact that you're in that negative frame of mind sets you up for a fall.
Mm.
And I firmly believe that, and a lot of Eastern philosophies address this issue very strongly, and that is that we are spiritual beings in reality, but while we're in this place, in this body on earth, that we need to contribute to live and learn as our lives go by. And if we are a positive person, we contribute to the joy of others. And those who are of a negative persuasion, that Lord knows there's enough of them out there, that allow circumstances to bring them down, instead of saying, okay, all right, for instance, the economic crisis we're in right now. Some people have done themselves in, and this has not been on the news, but just like the crash of 1929, where people were jumping out of skyscrapers.
Even 87.
And then again in 87, right. They put themselves into that position, for one thing. The corrupt ones that did that, I don't feel sorry for a bit, because they, number one, broke the law. Number two, hurt a lot of people, like this one fellow on Wall Street that took people for billions of dollars, and he's taking a walk. But, this negative kind of thinking that we're talking about here, it's your mindset in life that makes you who you are. And if you exude that positiveness, that upbeatness in your life, no matter the situation, and say, okay, all right, I've hit a brick wall here, or I've lost my job here, or I've, something terrible has happened. Take that and say, all right, now, here's the solution. Find it and go after it, and look forward and go forward in your life.
Now, you can speak firsthand because this has happened to you. I've known you for quite a while, and I know, and I don't want to get into anything you're uncomfortable, but you've had some major changes, some really good things, and for years, and no, I don't mean any offense, Ron, you know, I'm just going to speak honestly. I love you. You're a great guy. But you had some problems, and you used to, for a lack of better terms, and we all do this. I'm not casting judgment.
Right.
You were kind of hung up on them, and you wouldn't let go of them. And when you let go of them, what happened?
Well, I found joy and peace.
And then what happened?
And my business started to turn around.
Isn't that something?
And here we are in, not a recession, friends, it's a depression. Come on, let's get real. That's just an aside, my own opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever the case may be, a lot of people are freaking out over this. Not I. I look at it as a situation like this. In my studio, yes, I do voice work, but I also do remastering of old records and tapes. 8 tracks, cassette, reel-to-reel, and records of 3 speeds, and I can remaster them to CD and make them sound, well, nearly like new. And in some cases, like new. I've had a couple of clients tell me that, wow, this, you know, is so much better than what we had before.
So you've really, by changing your attitude, and I guess this is what I'm trying to maybe get across to people that might be listening, that going through some difficult things, and I think everybody does at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed in my own personal life, when I dwell on what's not working, I get more of that. And when I change my focus, my thoughts, and my feelings, are those the two key ingredients, would you say, Ron?
Oh, I would, yes. Yes, I right up there, number one. Much like Marley was to Scrooge in the play or the movie, whichever,
mm-hmm.
you see the chains on him. Well, those chains are a perfect example of what millstone or anchor we hang around our heads or necks when we go into a negative frame of mind. You become a non-productive, complaining, whining individual.
Now, how does that work, though? How does, and I, you know, I have my own belief, but I want to hear it from you. How does, when you think a certain way or feel a certain way, it seems to bring it to you? Now, how does that work?
Well, let's see. Now, I'm 60 years old. I turned 60 last September. And I have been in this business now, radio music, since 1963 as a professional. And I have found that in the when I was younger and I was playing out and getting the applause and that sort of thing, oh, wow, life was wonderful. I was partying. I was having a good time. And then came the recession of 1981 and 2. And that took away my job as manager of a large music store in Lansing. Well, my marriage went bluey, and life basically went right in the toilet. And I moved back in with my mother and my younger brother in 1981. And in those days, she was having discussions with me even then about my lifestyle and that sort of thing, and my way of thinking. Well, my way of thinking was very militaristic. I was brought up in a very strict home. These are the rules. You don't break them. Otherwise, you get spanked and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those things got out of control. But I carried that baggage around with me, and in having my own pity party and blaming others for my problems. And instead of passing the buck, well, let me back up. What made me think and do the things I did? I got into the bottle.
Mm.
Yeah. And I was so frustrated with the change from the way we used to do, let's say, radio in the 60s and 70s versus the way we did it in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And the way technology came in and the downsizing and so on and so forth. And I'm very much... obsessive compulsive.
You might be a little bit.
Yeah. About the things that I do. And I was criticized a number of times for taking too long in the production booth.
Yes.
And we both know what that means.
Yes.
So I didn't take that very well, and I had an attitude, and I did bark back at people.
Let me just move a little, because we got to take a break here.
Okay.
But do you think the problem was with them, now that you look back, or was the problem with you, or both?
In all honesty, I have to say myself.
Interesting.
Because even though things were not being done to the standards that I was trained under in the late 50s and 60s, even though that bar had dropped, that disturbed me, and I made it very, I was quite verbose about mm-hmm. it. And then I turned to being a closet drinker mm-hmm. at home.
So and you took out your frustration by turning, and a lot of people do. What's amazing about Ron is that he's kicked that habit. He's become a different person, and we'll continue to share, which I think is a remarkable story, and everybody probably has one, you know, and it's good that you're telling it. Thank you very much, Ron.
Oh, you are welcome.
Yeah, we'll take a break and come back shortly with my buddy Ron on Out There. My name is TJ Ryan.
Out there.
Once again, let me give a plug for my site. You probably already know how to get here, but if you don't, if somebody sent you this or you downloaded it from somewhere else, you type in out there, outthere.podbean.com. Again, this program is about many different things, but pretty much unknown. And there's so many things. The unknown doesn't have to be necessarily the paranormal. And maybe some of these things aren't as interesting to you, but the answers are out there. That's why we keep doing this, to bring them forward. So if you have something you want to share, feel free to do so. If you want to be, if you don't want to be known and want to be anonymous, we can do that too. You can send me an email at tj2@up.net. And I thank you for listening.
It's out there.
My name is TJ Ryan. You're listening to Out There. My guest is Ron. He's a good friend of mine. Him and I have many, many lengthy discussions from time. Whenever we get on the phone, I know I better give up a good hour or two because it's going to go a while. But it's always enjoyable. And you know what you do? You lift my spirit, because I think we focus on positive things and things that make us feel good. And even though we come from maybe little different beliefs, we both believe love is the overall force. Would you agree with that, Ron?
Oh, absolutely.
And I believe that unconditional love, the more you try to go towards that, it's just going to make everything better. And that, to me, is the main ingredient in the universe that holds the glue that holds everything together.
Yeah.
But you were talking, you wanted to also talk just a little more about being a recovering alcoholic.
Yes. It was a little over 5 years ago that I ceased drinking completely. And it was a matter of personal choice to get on my knees and pray for forgiveness to my Lord, and to ask for help, and get me out of this hell that I'm living in my brain and in my lifestyle and all this. And when I stopped drinking, I started pursuing things with a passion.
Mm.
My business, for instance. When I put my focus back into things in a positive frame of mind, it was amazing. People around me said, hey, there's something different about this guy. What's going on here?
And they wanted to be a part of it?
Yes, they were drawn to me. They said, Ron, what's, hope you don't mind, but I'm just wondering, I don't see you at the watering holes anymore, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I said, yes, I had to give that up, and since I have, my life has taken a 180 to the positive and has become so much more enjoyable. Every day I get up with, thank you, God, for this day, and I'm alive and breathing and walking and talking and
appreciating what we have. That's so huge, isn't it? We take it for granted, isn't it?
The creation that is around us is marvelous. Mm-hmm. The human body, for example, is designed to be immortal. But for some reason, through studies at Johns Hopkins, you name it, medical schools over the years, mm-hmm. they found that men and most people, male or female, max out at about 26, 27 years old. then you start going, your body starts to go downhill. Not too quick at first,
right.
But for some, it depends on the situation.
And everybody ages differently. And so some people can look incredibly well at 70 years old.
Yes.
And others look like, when they're 40, they look like they're 60. So a lot of it has to do with our thoughts and our attitudes and the stresses that we put ourselves through.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, like I say, the change in my life, changes in my life, my relationship with my wife has just blossomed. She has stuck by me through thick and thin, and she is literally my angel.
That poor woman.
Oh, she had to put up with.
I'm just kidding.
I'm telling you, she should have shot me a long time ago.
But, macular, how do you say that again? Macular degeneration?
Yes. I went on December 29th. We had a wonderful Christmas season. I got my VA compensation part one done. Part two is yet to be done, but I had notice of that. The 1st of December, I got some back pay, and needless to say, the month of December up through the 29th was just a time of celebration and getting the car bills paid, car fixed, getting involved, doing some shopping, clothes, all that kind of stuff, and upgrading in the studio. So I am just having a ball, and on the 29th, I go in and see my eye doctor. The decision, the evaluation, came back, and he says, Mr. Ripson, you have a condition called macular degeneration.
Hmm.
And I said, uh-huh. What is that? He said, in essence, it means that you are eventually going to be blind.
Wow. That's devastating, I bet you. Huh?
Whoa. You want to talk about getting your bubble burst. I just about fell out the chair.
Hmm.
Because obviously, your eyesight is a vital part of your functioning. And the things that I do, the things that anybody does. And I think it's something that we take for granted.
Oh, absolutely.
And our health overall, we take for granted.
Absolutely.
And we must treat our bodies better. So anyway, the doctor said, all right, here's the deal. You're in the early stages. We can treat this. Now, this is promoted by Paul Harvey because he firmly believes in it. And there are studies that show, you can go online and check this out.
What website is that? Is there a website we can go to?
Oh, yes. There are several, as a matter of fact.
Can you name one offhand?
Okay. Macular degeneration. Let's see. I've got five sites here.
Okay. Maybe just a couple of them, if you would.
Okay. I'll give you the National Eye Institute is www.nei.nih.gov/.
Okay. And that's the site you can go to, and you're going to be able to find this product. And you're talking about a natural product that Paul Harvey endorses. And Paul Harvey's got to be, how old is he now, 90 or?
He's got to be.
And he still does his show.
Yeah.
And I heard not too long ago, he goes to bed real early, but he still gets up, and he still makes himself productive, like you mentioned earlier. If you don't have a purpose as you get older,
yes.
You tend to decline, it seems like. So... I'm sorry, but what is this product we're talking about?
Okay, this product comes from through visionnutrition.com, and you can just punch that in
as
vision-nutrition.com.
Okay.
And you can go there, and there is a wealth of information on different vitamin supplements. Now, this is what blew me away. Dr. Wilson here in Manistique, is an older fellow, I'd say probably close to my age, and he didn't write me a prescription for a synthesized drug.
That's pretty amazing in this day and age, isn't it?
Yeah, he wrote down and handed me some information, this information on vitamin supplements. And what I take is an ocular formula that fights the macular degeneration, which is, simply put, the blood vessels at the rear of your eyeball on the inside, as you get older, the eye needs to flush, just like every organ, every part of our body, okay? And when it's not happening correctly, the new blood vessels will be formed. They are thin, and they will break, causing a blood clot. You will develop blind spots. The mind fills in those holes, so you don't know it at first. But as it progresses, you begin to lose the center of your vision, and it grows out from there to where you can only see a circle around that black dot in front of your eye that just keeps getting bigger and bigger until eventually you are blind.
No kidding.
And that just blew me away.
And so you found out that there's this natural product that you can take. And how much does it cost? A lot of money to get this?
No, not now. I was really surprised, quite frankly, when I ordered it through Vision Nutrition. Again, you can go to their site, and they're out of Huntington, New York. Right. I used to talk on the radio.
Take two.
Yeah, take two. Okay. Vision Nutrition in Huntington, New York.
Okay.
And it came to a grand total of $51.95 for 100 caplets.
How many a day do you take of those?
One.
Well, that lasts a long time.
Yeah.
That's pretty expensive. Some of this natural stuff is very expensive, and I like a lot of it, but it's like, wow. Mm-hmm. If I took everything that they want me to, I'd have to work six jobs to be able to afford some of it. And I don't even know if it's that effective. But you're saying that this could actually, because we're running out of time, this will actually, what did the doctor tell you?
He said they have had great success. And we're talking in the high 90 percentile range of refining it in the early stages, which is what they did with me. And taking the supplement, I get checked on every 3 months, go in for a scan, and keep an eye on it. And he said, literally, no pun intended, and watch the progress of it digressing.
Mm.
And you can tell by the lack of those little blood vessels that break in the back of your eye.
So this actually is
going away.
It's eventually just going to go away.
Eventually, he said, within a year's time, this should go away.
That's amazing.
And I have noticed in the last 2 weeks since I've been taking this vitamin that I've been able to focus better.
Mm.
The way I feel, I have more energy, and what is in this supplement is unbelievably wonderful.
Detox as well?
Pardon?
Does it detox as well?
And that is the issue at hand. There are elements in there, and we could go on for another hour.
No side effects? No side effects at all?
No side effects. I'm on high blood pressure medicine, medicine to keep my veins running.
Does this help anybody with any type of... Is it just for that type of illness, can it help people with any kind of eye problems, you think?
I would say any kind, because there are two... sites right now. VistaVite, VistaVite is another one, and they have a list of goodies, but this was the one I got through Vision Nutrition was the one that was recommended and had the greatest success rate.
Interesting.
Yes, it's wonderful. So supplements, do not poo-poo supplements.
But don't accept every supplement that you see, I'm guessing, too, right?
Yes, it does require one to do a little research. In fact, I would recommend doing a lot of research into it. Mm-hmm. And the next key issue is to give it time.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, you got to give
it time. We want a quick fix, and really the body... I kind of believe that when the body's lacking something, that's when you get an illness. And that illness is brought on by stress generally because we're thinking a certain way, we're worried about it, so it depletes us. And even if we take a lot of healthy foods and that, we still cannot make up for it, especially as we get older. So we need something to comprehend that, to understand it and supplement it. And if it's the right things, really good things, there's a friend of mine, which I hope to get on the show. He has basically turned his life around with some very natural stuff. He actually helped his father get better from Alzheimer's, which is remarkable. And so eventually maybe we'll talk to him. We're pretty much run out of time, but thank you so much for sharing very personal things.
Oh, you are so welcome, TJ, and thank you for having me on the program.
We will have to chat again, I'm guessing.
Yes, let's make it a date.
All right. Ron, my buddy, thank you.
You're welcome.
Out there created by Kevin MacLeod.
Do the second segment. Is this going in a good direction? Are we doing?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good.
I'm feeling very comfortable with what you're doing. guiding things along and keeping me on track. You know,
no, not you. Not you. That's impossible. I can barely get a word out of you. It's like I'm having to pull teeth over here. If I was your dentist, we'd pull out every tooth in that mouth. We'd be getting you some dentures.
Or as we know all too well, the interview from hell. We talk to somebody and you're trying to get a response and you're getting one and two word responses.
Yeah, that's not a problem with you.